Well, hello, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth again, and I welcome you to this recording. And today we're going to be picking up and working or studying in our Bibles, the study number 8, the letter H, on the subject and the topic of God the Holy Ghost. We have, I was wrong last time on the last recording, thinking that we had already done 3. But this will be the 4th lesson on this topic of the Holy Ghost that we will be studying today. And I pray that you've been going over those scriptures and reading God's Word concerning what we're studying here so that we know the truth. And that's what we want. We want to know what the truth is. We don't want no lies, and we don't want to believe any lies or be deceived. There's enough of that in the world today. It's everywhere you look. But let me read you something here. I want to encourage you a little bit. And, I know it's taken a lot of discipline for you to listen to these, because the devil's not going to give it to you free. If you're going to study God's word, you're going to pay for it. And one way or another, the enemy is going to try to discourage you and try to keep you from doing this. But listen to this. I got a little card from somebody, I don't remember who it was, a long time ago, to help me in a time of discouragement. And I don't remember exactly what it was, but I've kept the card, and I want you to hear this. This is called Don't Quit. Don't quit. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is queer with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns, and many a failure turns about when he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt. And you never can tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems so far. To stick to the fight when your hardest hit, it's when things seem worse that you must not quit. Amen. Amen. I've hung on to that for a while, and I read it as often as I see it, and try to remind myself of that. And the Bible says the same thing. The Bible encourages us, when you have done all, to stand. And don't quit, because we have a faithful Savior, and God the Holy Ghost, who we're studying today, is faithful. He is faithful, and he doesn't let us down, and he will not let us down. So let's go on and get into our study today and find out some more about God the Holy Ghost and what our Bibles teach us about him. We have talked in previous lessons concerning this. Who is God the Holy Ghost? Who is the Holy Ghost? We've talked about what has the Holy Ghost done in times past. We've talked about what is the work of the Holy Ghost today. Remember that? And then we talked about what does the Holy Ghost do when we are saved. Now, today we're going to begin a category that's the part of this study, which is going to be what is the relationship between the Holy Ghost and me. I understand that he dwells in me. I understand that I'm sealed with him, and that he is the earnest of he's the down payment of eternal life, and he's the earnest of the Spirit, and that he enables us to or the Holy Ghost makes intercession for me, and that he does all these things, and I believe that, and so do you, and we believe what God tells us. But what's the relationship between me and the Holy Ghost? I mean, as far as when it comes to just he and I. Well, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 14 that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Well, one thing that the relationship between the Holy Ghost and me is that the Bible teaches that the Holy Ghost indeed dwells in me. He dwells in me. And we learned that on the last portion of our lesson, last recording. And we're going to start that out as far as 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14, again on this. Between the relationship of the Holy Ghost and me, one thing that I need to understand and you need to understand is that God the Holy Ghost dwells in us. The Bible says that, that good thing which was committed unto thee keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. And in that verse also it says that the things that are given to us and spiritual things and the things that are given to us to understand of the Word of God and committed to us, like he was talking, Paul was talking to Timothy there, he said to keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. So God the Holy Ghost is one of the ones that helps us to stay faithful and helps us to keep the things that we have learned. And it's a process, learning about spiritual things and growing in the Lord and growing to maturity in the Lord is a process, just like growing physically. You don't start out as a grown-up. You start out as a babe. And that's also what we do when we're born again. We start out as a babe in Christ, and we desire the sincere milk of the Word, and then we grow, and then the Lord feeds us some baby food, and then we get on some solid foods, and then we turn to meat. And that's the process of growing spiritually in the Word of God. And you don't stick a piece of steak in a baby's mouth that ain't got no teeth to chew it with, and it's just not going to do him any good, even though he might suck on it, but it ain't going to do him any good because he can't eat it. And that's the same in comparison to the Word of God in us. The Holy Ghost is the one that helps us all through that entire process of growing. Wherever you are in your walk with the Lord, the Holy Ghost is in you, dwelling in you, and He is committed to helping you to get through the process that you need to get through and the things that you're learning about the Lord and the things that you're learning about Christianity and learning about the body of Christ and learning about the Word of God. And the Lord's will, the Holy Ghost is faithful in teaching you that. So the relationship between ourselves and the Holy Ghost is very special. It's very personal, and the Holy Ghost is very faithful. Now, another thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12 through 14, the Bible says, "Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." Now, according to that verse, the relationship between the Holy Ghost and ourselves, the Holy Ghost enables us to what? What does he enable us to do according to that verse? He enables us to know the things of God. He enables us to know and to understand the God's Word. Now, the Bible says that an unsaved man, that the natural man, the unsaved man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit, because they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. He does not, the reason that he can't understand them is because he does not have God the Holy Ghost dwelling in him to decipher God's Word and to make sense of God's Word, because God's Word is spirit, is spiritual. The Bible says, the Lord Jesus Christ said, that it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. You see, God the Holy Ghost is the one that authored the Scriptures. Remember, we've studied that and learned that. Well, also, God the Holy Ghost dwelling in us is the one, he is the most perfect one, the perfect one, to teach us his Word and what the meaning of his Word is, and teach us to help us to rightly divide the Word of God. When we are sincere and we are searching for truth and we desire the Word of God. God the Holy Ghost understands that we're sincere, and He'll join right into that, and He'll teach us. He is our teacher, the Bible says. And He is the one that's responsible and accepts His responsibility, and as a matter of fact, loves His responsibility as far as teaching us. The Holy Ghost enables us to know the things of God's Word, for He is our what? What is He? What does the Bible say? Let me read it to you again. Now, we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches. Now, there's God's opinion on the educated man today, the third God in the world of America, education. It says, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So according to that verse right there, the Holy Ghost enables us to know the things of God, talking about the relationship between ourselves and the Holy Ghost. What is it? Well, He's our teacher, and He enables us to know the things of God's Word. He teaches us, and we grow, and He is our teacher, the Bible says. And you should allow Him and let Him teach you. Because also in the Scriptures, having to do with our relationship between ourselves and the Holy Ghost, we can grieve God the Holy Ghost. According to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, it gives us a warning not to do that. It says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Remember, we talked about that sealed part yesterday, I guess it could have been yesterday, I don't know, but last recording. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now the Bible, the Lord in the Scriptures would not have warned us not to grieve God the Holy Spirit if it were not possible for us to do that. So the Bible has given us a clear warning there to be very careful that we do not grieve Him. And grieve Him concerning what? Grieve Him concerning the relationship between ourselves and Him. And as far as Him teaching us and teaching us to know the things of God and Him dwelling in us and the relationship that we have with Him, we are not to grieve Him. I mean, you people that are married out there, you are very careful in your relationship not to grieve your spouse, and try, at least you ought to be anyway, and you're careful not to grieve them. But you know and you learn about them and their personality, and that's exactly what we're doing right now with God the Holy Ghost, and a relationship with somebody that you're going to have for a long, long, long time. And you have to learn about that, and you have to learn about that person, and you have to learn what grieves them and what does not grieve them. And that brings us to another scripture. What does grieve the Holy Ghost? The Bible teaches us and says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Okay, that's fair. I understand that, and I believe that. But how is it that God says that it's possible for me to grieve Him? Well, I need to know, it's only fair to know what grieves the Holy Spirit, right? Right. I mean, it's only fair. It's not asking too much of the Lord, and the Lord doesn't mind teaching us that. So some of the things that do grieve God the Holy Ghost, that the Lord warns us and advises us not to get involved in and not to grieve Him, because we are sealed with Him. He's not going anywhere. If you're born again, He's in you and He's dwelling in you, and there's nothing you can do about it. He's there. And He's going to be there for a long, long, long time. And you have got to learn to have a relationship with Him. And He's teaching you how to do that. But He can be grieved, and the Bible warns us not to do that. And in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32, and you probably already knew where I was going with that, but the Bible does tell us some of the things that do grieve God the Holy Ghost. Let's read it. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Okay, according to that scripture right there, there are, let's see, six sins which will grieve God the Holy Ghost. And there's three different attitudes that we can have that will prevent that from happening. Okay, let's write those down or let's list these six and see what they are. Let all bitterness, when we allow bitterness to be, now we get bitter. We're human beings and life makes you bitter sometimes. Okay, but the idea here is that you deal with that bitterness and you get that bitterness out of you and you get it taken care of and you get it placed where it needs to be. We're not to be having bitterness that dwells in us that can battle against God the Holy Ghost as He teaches us. Because He can't teach us, God can do anything, but He can't teach us the things of God and have us to learn properly if we have bitterness dwelling in us voluntarily. We don't want to do anything about that bitterness. We hang on to it, and it's kind of like a pacifier. Every time we start feeling sorry for ourselves, we start sucking on the bitter pacifier. You see, and I'm guilty and so are you. But we're not to do that. We're not to do that because that grieves God the Holy Ghost. Let all bitterness and wrath. Now, wrath is one step farther than anger. The Bible tells us that we can be angry. It says, be ye angry. The Lord said, be ye angry. There are some things that the Bible teaches us to be angry about. But it also says that when you are, but be ye angry and sin not. We are not to allow our anger to get to the point to where it causes us to sin. And anger grieves God the Holy Ghost. And some of us are allowing certain matters of anger to reside in us. And God the Holy Ghost dwells in us and He wants that anger gone. And we are to do what we can and confess our faults one to another, and we're to confess our sin to the Lord and get rid of that anger and allow God the Holy Ghost to work that anger out of us. Now, we do get mad. There's things, whoever says that they don't get angry is a liar, because human beings get angry. And when you become a Christian and your mind starts to change and God the Holy Ghost starts changing your thoughts about sin and starts changing your mind concerning what's right and what's wrong and what's supposed to be and what's not supposed to be and starts teaching you doctrine, you're going to start seeing things and you're going to get mad about it. You're going to get mad about some things and you're going to do it righteously. It's going to make you angry to see things happening in the world, and that you're going to be mad at things that God's mad about. Wrath is anger that gets more into a physical altercation. Wrath is completely out of control. You know what wrath is. The Lord says that wrath. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Worketh not the righteousness of God. So whenever we're allowing wrath, and we've all been wrathful before, but whenever we allow wrath to work in us, we cannot work the righteousness of God. And God the Holy Ghost is righteousness. He is the righteousness that He's the Spirit of Christ, and Christ is our righteousness, and He works in us and teaches us. So bitterness, wrath, anger. Now there's certain types of righteous anger called righteous indignation, and we get into that in some other parts of study, but never do we have a license to use the scriptures to do anything wrong. You see, the Bible does tell us that there is such thing as being angry and being angry for the right reasons and being angry in a righteous way. But never does the Bible give us the permission to use anger as a means of sinning of sinning. And then it goes in and says, and clamor. Now, clamor is just more like being loud and forceful. It usually comes in all these things kind of knit together, bitterness, wrath, anger. You see how it's working? And clamor. And all these things grieve God the Holy Ghost. He does not want these things to be part of us. And he has a hard time teaching us the good things about God's word and teaching us how to be good, faithful to our Heavenly Father and to walk righteously. And the Bible says God had not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness. And he can't teach us about holiness if we're hanging on to fleshly things. And clamor is a fleshly thing. It's loud and forceful, and being loud and forceful and clamorous. And then also it says evil speaking. The Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Grace. When we talk, a Christian's mouth and a Christian's conversation, no matter where he is and who he's talking to and what he's doing, the Bible said to study to be quiet, first of all. That's what we need to do, is to be quiet and study to be. Notice the scripture says study to be quiet. And that we indeed have to do that, don't we? Because that tongue always wants to flap. It does. And we can get to talking and talking and talking, and pretty soon we're just running. A mouth is running, and the brain ain't even in gear. It doesn't even know what the mouth's saying. But evil speaking, particularly, grieves God the Holy Ghost. Because the Bible says that which proceedeth out of the heart, comes out of the mouth comes from the heart. Comes from the heart. And God the Holy Ghost does not want any kind of evil communication in our hearts or anything that would cause us to speak evil, have evil speaking and corrupt communication. So evil speaking. So we got bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking. The Bible says, now, how do we, okay, so we know what these six things are and that they grieve God the Holy Ghost. Okay, so how do we keep from grieving him with these? Well, the following sentence after that, it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. That's the sixth one. We're not to have malice. We're not to be malicious. We're not to wish something, wish damage on anybody else in our hearts. We're not to do that. And we know that that's not right to begin with. I mean, God the Holy Ghost teaches us that, but we have to be reminded of that. But the more that you grow in the Spirit and the more that God the Holy Ghost takes over and overrules your flesh and overrules your thinking, the more that you will dismiss malice in your heart and dismiss malice. You will not enjoy malice anymore because you're not a fleshly person anymore. Your body is dead and it's going back to the grave, and you are spiritual now. And you have been quickened by God the Holy Ghost and made alive. And you are alive unto spiritual things. And it says, be put away from you. Now, that's an action. That's an action sentence right there. It's not something that's just going to come naturally. It's something that you have to work on. You have to work on it. You have to, on purpose, let all bitterness and all wrath and all anger and clamor and evil speaking with malice to be put away from you. You're not just going to snap your fingers and it be gone. It just don't happen like that. It's a process, and it's practicing, and it's practicing at it, and putting it away, and doing it on purpose. Yeah, the Lord set this thing up to where if you're going to do it, you're going to do it because you mean it, not because It just happened to come. Now, the Lord helps us, and He makes it easier for us. His yoke is easy, and His burden is light. And He does. When He finds out that we're sincere about it, and He notices that we're sincere, He'll come alongside of you, and He'll help you get that malice and that wrath and that anger and that clamor and that bitterness put away from you. And then it says that there are three things that are godly attitudes that we should instill and incorporate into our lives and into our families and into our households and into our hearts so that we will not grieve God the Holy Ghost. And what is that? And then it continues on in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, and it says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." You have all the reasons in the world to be kind to one another. You have all the reasons in the world to be tenderhearted. You have all the reasons in the world to forgive one another. Because Christ, God has forgiven you for Christ's sake. Did you get that? You are forgiven. Your sins have been forgiven. They've been taken away. You're not going to be accountable. You're not going to be condemned for your sins ever. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. That is all the reason in the world right there, just to practice and to incorporate and to train myself in the name of the Lord and to be kind and to and allow God the Holy Ghost to conform me into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be kind one to another. You know how to be kind to the people you want something from. You know how to be kind. You know how to be kind. And being kind is on purpose most of the time, isn't it? You say, well, that's fake. No, it's not. Being kind on purpose is more genuine than being kind by accident. We're to be kind one to another. Tender-hearted. You care. You care. You care. Tender-hearted. Forgiving one another. Why? Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. These are things that we should desire. And that we should not let anybody tell us are silly or that's just not the way things are. Yes, that is the way things are, and that's the way things are supposed to be. We have God the Holy Ghost dwelling in us, and we are being changed by God the Holy Ghost, and He is conforming us into the image of His Son. And we have just been told by the Scriptures of what grieves Him, and then what pleases Him, and what He wants to teach us. And if He teaches, if we allow Him to teach us to be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, it is reasonable to think that all bitterness, now notice He said that in Ephesians, He said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking and malice be put away from you. He said, let it all be gone. All of it. And sometimes it takes, some of it goes immediately at salvation. Sometimes it might take a little effort. Sometimes you have to grit your teeth to get rid of it. And it takes years. And there's some hard stuff in that. Yeah, there is. But not impossible and not ridiculous at all. Matter of fact, it's godly. The Bible says that he that passeth over a transgression that glorifies God. And when God sees us and we're putting effort forth to be like Him because we want to and not because we have to, that's sacrifice. And the Lord loves that. He loves that. So we see, what is the relationship between the Holy Ghost and ourselves? It's very important, isn't it? Because He's our teacher. Because we cannot do these things in the flesh. The flesh profiteth nothing. And the Bible says that we are to grow in the Spirit, and we are spiritual now. We are spiritual people. And we have this flesh on us, yes, but we war against the flesh, and the flesh wars against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and they're contrary one to another, so that we cannot do the things that we would. But through God the Holy Ghost working in us, and us yielding to Him and obeying Him and striving to be like the Lord Jesus Christ and to please our Lord, yes, we can achieve these things, and we will. There's no way that we cannot, because the Bible says when Jesus comes back at the second advent, we shall be changed. And everything that's left that hasn't been succeeded in as far as you growing in the Lord and becoming like the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be changed then. And you're going to be perfect like Him. And so will I. We're going to have the mind of Christ. We're going to have bodies fashioned like unto His glorious body. And we've got everything to look forward to. Praise His name. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, that ain't got a thing to do with your salvation. You're already saved. He's not talking to a lost person there. He's talking to saved people. Now, you say, why have I got to confess them if they're forgiven? Well, they are forgiven, and that's God's secret, how He really does that. And I'm glad it is His, because human beings would mess it up. But confessing, He didn't say that you ask for forgiveness, because you've already been forgiven for it. But this is a process that the Lord gives us to where we can get it off of ourselves and the guilt of it and the responsibility of it. If we confess our sins, that tells us right there that a Christian still sins. Still sins. If we confess our sins, and there's a big if there, because the flesh is going to try to get you not to confess them. If we confess our sins, the Bible says that God is faithful and that He is just to forgive us our sins every single time and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, this is not like a judge forgiving a sinner. This is like a father forgiving a son. That's what this verse is about. There's the difference. He already loves us. We're already in the family. We're already forgiven. But transgress against our Father that loves us. And we behave like we should not behave as His child. And then the Lord says, well, if we confess them, I mean, what do you do with your own children? You don't treat them as a stranger. You treat them as family. But whenever it's time to do a little disciplining, you say, just tell me what you did. So what are you saying? Confess it. Confess it. If you confess it, then we can take care of things. And we'll forgive it. And we'll cleanse it. And we'll take care of it. Same thing. Same thing. Got nothing to do with your salvation. This has nothing to do with your salvation. You're saved. You're sealed. You're locked in. You're going to heaven. But when it comes to now being a member of the family of God, you got to behave. And the Lord expects you to behave. And not because you have to, even though He will convince you that you want to if you insist. But because you want to. Because you want to be like Him now. I want to be a Christian. I want to be like Jesus. I don't want to be a sinner anymore. Say that with your mouth with me. You ready? I don't want to be a sinner anymore. Say it again. I don't want to be a sinner anymore. Now put the Lord's name in front of it. Lord, I don't want to be a sinner anymore. Now that's the way your heart's supposed to be ticking. You see, I don't want to be a sinner anymore. The Lord's changing me. And I want to change. And I want to be like Him. That's the idea. Okay, well, the Bible says we're talking about our relationship between the Holy Ghost and ourselves. We see that the Holy Ghost dwells in us. We see that the Holy Ghost enables us to know the things of God's Word and that He is our teacher. That's our relationship between ourselves and the Holy Ghost. He is our teacher, and He's the one that teaches us spiritual things and the things of Christ and the things of the Word of God. And a Christian can grieve God the Holy Ghost, and we talked about the things that the Bible teaches us that do grieve Him. So if we don't want to grieve the Lord, I mean, you understood when you was in the in your human family what grieved Mama and Daddy. You knew exactly what they were. Oh, man, I don't do that around my daddy. You see, you knew what grieved him. Well, you know, I mean, there's things that grieve God, that grieve the Lord, and they grieve the Holy Ghost. And he just goes, And then there's godly attitudes that we have that we should let him perform in us and mold us into being kind one to another and tenderhearted. And forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And then we talked about 1 John. Now, a Christian can also behave in some way to where it's called in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9, it says simply four words, quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. The Bible says that a Christian can quench the Spirit. In other words, this is kind of like that you throw cold water on him. You reduce the degree of authority that he has in your life. You suppress him. You put his fire out. The things that he wants to do in you, you resist. His work, we do these things with his work and his will within the assembly or in us. We stifle what the Holy Ghost wants to do in us. We understand that, some of these things are hard, and nevertheless, God the Holy Ghost wants to help us and wants to help us clear these things out of us. But there's some bitterness in some of y'all that you might try to stifle God the Holy Ghost, like try to stick something in his mouth so you can't hear him no more when he's talking to you about your bitterness. That's quenching him. You're trying to shut him up. You're trying not to be able to hear him. You're trying to muffle him, you see, and we're not to do that. Quench not the Spirit. Because, see, God doesn't need to be made any better. God is perfect. God is holy. He does not need any kind of improvement. We're the ones that need the help. So if you quench him, you're sabotaging your own help. Quench not the Spirit, the Bible says. Well, we're going to stop right there. There are several other things that we're going to talk about, and we're going to go right back into this on our next recording about what our relationship between God, the Holy Ghost, and ourselves is. And we've seen quite a bit today, and it's pretty good stuff, isn't it? But one of the most special things is that we have the authority from the Word of God that these things are true. We have it written down and documented from the Lord and inspired by Him, and it is indeed the Word of God and the will of God, and we can rest in that. That if we choose to obey the Word of God, then we are choosing to obey the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Yes, it is. Okay, well, let me give you these scriptures so far, and then we will stop this lesson today. And I thank you again for listening in, and may the Lord bless you for your faithfulness to this. And go back over these scriptures, okay? Because they will what I want to say. They'll nail down the truth in you. And the more you read over these scriptures, as fresh as what we just have talked about, and you read the scriptures are going to be what the Holy Ghost uses to nail that truth down in you and to put it in you and solidify it in you to where it's in you. Okay? And that's what you want. Okay, here are the scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14. And then we got 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 through 14. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32. And 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. And then the last one that we used today and read was 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19, which is, quench not the Spirit. Now, read over those and just meditate on them and allow God the Holy Spirit to teach you these things. And I'm glad it's all truth, and I'm glad we can trust it. I'm glad we can trust it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Amen. Amen. It's been a good study today. God, the Holy Ghost, relationship between the Holy Ghost and us. Okay, well, you have a wonderful evening or day or whichever it is that you're going to have. And I wish you prosperity and thank you for listening to God's Word, and bless you for that. Bye-bye.